Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ.
Hello, everybody. We want to welcome you back to the Pastor's Porch. Really excited to bring you something new today. We have a guest with us today. We have Bo Gage, who is the CEO of Blind Faith Outdoors. And so we're excited for him to join us on the podcast today and to just kind of talk with us about some different things. And so we're going to kind of talk about obedience today and obeying the Holy Spirit, obeying what God has asked us to do. And we're going to allow Bo to speak to that today and kind of tell us about his ministry. And so before we get into that, I just wanted to remind us of something out of 1 Samuel chapter 15, where Samuel is talking about having great delight in the Lord and how the people of that day had great delight in, you know, burnt sacrifices and burnt offerings. But he kind of goes in and talks about how just obeying the voice of the Lord is better than just making these sacrifices. And so, you know, all the time in the churches, in the church house, we do our tithes and we make sacrifices of time and different things. But sometimes God just wants us to be obedient to what he's calling us to and asking us to. And so I love that from 1 Samuel 15, and it kind of ties into you and your ministry, Bo. And so kind of talk us through that today of how Blind Faith started, what it is, and how just what God called and asked you to do in your own personal life and how that infiltrates your ministry aspect with Blind Faith.
All right. Well, you're asking a lot of me right there. I guess the easy thing is how Blind Faith started was just out of a passion for hunting and a passion for God. And the struggle that I had spending time with both. I was an associate pastor at the time, and I liked hunting and stuff like that. And I had started doing a deal, noticed that men were not showing up in church. A lot of the wives were showing up, but the men weren't. And there was a particular couple that had came to church one Sunday, and it was like a Easter or something like that. And got to talking to the guy. We had so much in common, you know, and and I saw that he loved the Lord, but he was never showing his face in church, to be honest with you. And so I started thinking about, man, how can I connect with this guy? How can I engage with him? And so one day I invited him to go duck hunting with me. And on a Saturday morning, he's like, sure. So we went duck hunting, and we had a good time. And I said, well, how about you go with me in the morning? He said, isn't it Sunday? Don't you have church? I said, yeah, I do have church. I was like, but we're going to duck hunt until about 9, and then we're going to cut it out, and I'm going to go to church. I said, you don't have to. He said, man, do you care if I change there at your house? I said, no, come on. And that's kind of where God just kind of planted the seed.
Sure.
For it is, you know, being able to go out and engage with people where they're at and show them that, you know, there can be a balance with life and serving God. And that's kind of where it was born out of. It didn't have a name or anything then. But you fast forward a few years later, and me and a buddy, Zach, were actually sitting at a boat ramp in near Fort Smith that just got done duck hunting, and a couple of elderly men came up and asked what the cross in the word tradition on the back of my vehicle meant. And I said, well, you know, it stands for, you know, it's just basically they're a Christian company. And that T, they're just, you know, kind of giving and paying respect to Christ and putting the cross in there to let people know that they support Christ. And these are probably 60 something year old men. And he said, who's Christ? And that really set me back that we live in a place and a time where a 16 year old man in America genuinely didn't know who Christ was. And so we got to share a little bit then, and kind of told them where we had seen ducks that day. They were coming out hunting later, and Zach and I talking about on the way back home, we were just talking about, said, you know, there's more to us coming out here and hunting ducks and hunting stuff. Sure. I was like, man, this is what we're called to do. This is what we're meant to do, is to come out here to where the people are and be witnesses out here. I said, because those two men, they're not going to show up in our church. Yeah. They're not going to pull in the driveway and come in. So that's where we have to make it a point to go out to where they're at and just try to be there and befriend people and build relationship with people and then be able to share a God that we know and love through our actions and through our witness. And eventually, hopefully that you get the opportunity to see them come to know Christ as their salvation as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Man, that's so awesome. I mean, you said something earlier that just sparked something, kind of your heart behind it, that I'm going to get the numbers wrong on this, but men in the church, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact statistic and right off the top of my head if I researched it, I could, but it's pretty crazy that when women come to church, the ability, like if the wife of the house, okay, so take a normal husband, wife, and four kids, okay, which I now I think the average American household is less than that, but it used to be that. If the wife is the first in the church and gets saved, the numbers are like only like 30 or 40% that even her children is going to be able to know who Christ is and have have freedom or have a relationship with him, but the husband is like not going to be a part of it.
Right.
But if you flip it and the man of the house first comes to know who Christ is and is able to lead his home, that same home, it's like a 90% chance that everybody in that house is going to know who Christ is going to start attending church. And it just, you know, having that heart, like what you said, of just realizing the men weren't coming to church. And so just your heart and what you enjoy to do, now you get to use it as a ministry of going to minister to those men and the elements that they like to be, to hopefully for them to encounter Christ right where they're at, and kind of, you know, hope that they come to know Christ and then can start leading their home. There's a greater chance, a greater statistic, if you just use those, for those entire families to come to know Christ. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. And, you know, a lot of men today enjoy hunting, fishing, you know, being outdoors. They don't necessarily enjoy going and sitting in a room listening to somebody talk about Jesus that they don't want to be a part of. But meeting them right where they're at, I think that's important. And, you know, I think it goes back to just the obedience aspect. And I use this quote for me in my life that I've heard, and a lot of people know this quote, but nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
And that quote is just, it has meant so much to me in my life, meaning that it doesn't matter how much I can beat somebody over the head with a Bible if they don't feel like I love them for who they are and where they're at.
That's true.
Right. I think that's the beauty of kind of what your ministry is you go reach people where they're at. You go say, hey, let's just go have fun and let's go duck hunt. Let's go on a deer hunt. You know, because if you just went and invited them to church right away, a lot of chances, I'm just assuming a lot of those guys, the first response is probably no.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
But if you say, hey, let's go on a duck hunt, and then all of a sudden you get to share Jesus with them through the duck hunt.
Yeah.
And then you go on another duck hunt, and you get to share Jesus with them even more in that duck hunt. And then you get to say, hey, you know, like, why don't you come to church with me Sunday morning? Chances are probably a little bit higher that they would be like, okay, like, we'll, you know, we'll come, or, you know, and it's just, it's not about them coming to the church on Sunday morning, but it's an avenue for them to experience Christ in the body of the church, you know, with like believers, and that's important. And so, man, that's awesome. So kind of tell me, how did Blind Faith, like, where did the name kind of come up?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny that you asked that. I remember it very clearly. My wife and I were driving down the road, and I remember the house I was looking at and everything. It literally just popped into my head, Blind Faith. And I looked at my wife. I said, Blind Faith? She goes, what are you talking about? I was like, well, you know, Zach and I are talking about, you know, we need to have a purpose when we go out. In everything we do, back up just a little bit. You know, that was one of the things that we talked about that day is, you know, not hunting for ourselves anymore, but when we go out hunting, when we go out fishing, that our one purpose is to put God first in everything we do. Not necessarily that we justify what we're doing, but we sincerely go out and look for the opportunities that God puts in front of us while we're out doing the things that we love and the things that we're passionate about. Because let's be honest, God gave the desire to most men to want to hunt, to want to fish. I mean, that's in us from birth. And, you know, I think a lot of times we get confused on what we do with that. And we use it in the way that it's not intended to. But he gives us that desire so that we're constantly searching, that we're always hungry for more, and that we don't get complacent. But if we put that in the right aspect and say, you know what, let's switch this hunting into where we're searching for lost souls as well. We're searching for people to build relationships with. So in that, we had talked about doing that and being intentional with every hunting trip. Like, hey, we're going to look for God to put somebody in front of us. We're going to try to figure this. And we're like, man, we kind of been doing this a little bit subconsciously. You know, we've been talking to people each trip, you know. But we're like, we don't know how to put a name on it. And we're driving down the road, and I just looked at my wife and said, blind faith. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, that's the name. It's blind faith. And I actually went to register that name and found out it was a old band back in the 70s. And so anyway, I was like, well, we got to do something else for that because there's already something taken. And then we added the outdoors, which I didn't like that at first. I was like, man, I really want to keep this where it's blind faith. It's more about God. It's more about, but then it was kind of revealed to me that the outdoors is that we added to the end of it is what made it to where we're better received by people outside the church.
Yeah.
It connects it all together with what we're doing, and it came up as great. And of course our scripture that we use is 2 Corinthians 5:7, before we walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah.
The story with that actually kind of came, Zach's wife, we had told her the name and everything, and she's like, man, I got this verse would go perfect. And she read that to me. I was like, hey, man, that's great. Yeah. So I actually can't take credit for the verse to go with it. But it was right. And, you know, you asked about the name Blind Faith. The reason it fits so well is because, for one, you hunt in a blind.
Yeah.
Or you try to get a hide or whatever you want to call it, whether it's deer hunting, duck hunting, whatever. You're hiding. Absolutely. You're hiding in order to deceive your prey.
Correct.
And then when you're hiding, you have faith that if you're covered up good enough and you do your job well enough, that you're going to make a harvest. You're going to harvest that. And then the part that makes it so great is God wants us to not blindly follow him, but he wants us to have faith and be led by faith.
Yes.
And with that faith, be blind to what the world is throwing at us.
Yeah,
so that we don't get deceived. And so the double meaning of that, really, it was a God thing, you know. And
sure.
It takes sitting down talking to people sometimes before they realize the meaning there. But yeah, that's where the name came from.
Yeah, well, man, it's so awesome because you guys weren't necessarily searching for it, right?
No, we weren't at
all.
And
that's what I think provides so much more meaning to it as well, is like God saw the bigger picture of the heart that he gave you guys for this ministry, and through that just kind of place the name in your lap for you guys to be able to expound on and have so much more meaning to that. And it just, man, it's powerful in that, in the play on words.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've always thought that it's kind of cool of the play on words, but I, even sitting here today, I've never heard the even back end of that, of kind of the heart of walking by faith and God wants you to be blind to the world. And man, there's so much power and meaning in that. And I'm sure that you guys are able to minister to that, to those guys that you take on those trips, all the time, of kind of the importance of relying on the Holy Spirit and relying on God's word and relying on the brotherhood and not relying on the satisfaction of this world to get you through. And man, it's so impactful, right? Yeah. It's so powerful to be able to have that that ministry tool to use outside of the church walls. And I think that's where, you know, we can get stuck up on a lot in churches. We focus on the internal side of the church, you know, of youth ministry and children's ministry and our men's ministry and our women's ministry. But having that expansion outside the walls, the doing exactly what the Great Commission says and go, you know, going out and ministering the gospel is important, and having opportunities and tools like this outdoor ministry to do that is so powerful. It's so impactful. And so kind of share a little bit about what you guys do. You know, you say hunting trips, duck hunting. Kind of explain how that all goes about and kind of your heart behind it and kind of what God has placed in front of you and what he's asked you to do with it as the ministry has evolved.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say, you know, right after that, of course, me being me and me being a man, I want to go full out. My vision is so big, you know, it's worldwide, man. I have it written down. I could read it to you, and I think it's a great vision. But we wanted to go out and just, I wanted to have people that had, you know, little mini sermons ready to be in the duck blind. I wanted to have guys, and then we had guys signing up to do this and stuff like that. But the more we got together and started going out and more intentionally and trying to reach more people, it seemed like we weren't getting anywhere. Like, you know, we weren't having any effect. Then I quit trying to plan things. I would just pray up.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't have any little sermonette in my pocket. Didn't carry any little thing. And, you know, I've got my phone in my pocket, which has got a Bible on it. So I got something if I need it. But what we started doing is just trying to, when we would go out, if we would see somebody, we just invite them to hunt with us. If they didn't have a spot. I mean, even just did this a couple weeks ago on the opening of teal season. You know, we didn't get to preach to them. We didn't get to whatever. But we just, you know, showed kindness and loved on somebody in a community that's pretty harsh on each other, if we're real honest.
Sure.
I mean, the hunting community, you know, you'll come together for a banquet, but ask them where their favorite hunting spot is.
Ain't going to share.
It ain't going to happen.
You're right.
And so when we offer people to come sit in the blind with us, if we meet them at the boat ramp, you know, and our biggest deal, if you see like one guy or two guys and they're sitting there and you're loading up at the same time and you're, we just invite them, say, hey, man, you want to go with us? You know, you can go to our spot. Now, it's not the greatest, but, you know, we've had some success, just whatever it may be. And then we just let the Spirit lead. And that's kind of where we're at right now on that part of it. But we've done some big things. You know, we do what's called hero hunts. That's where we take nominations for people. We started out with just military, fire, police, EMTs, just public service officials, veterans, stuff that get nominated. We take nominations for a couple months, and we try to take about 6 to 10 guys on a 3-day hunting retreat, duck hunting retreat. We feed them well. You know, we kind of go, I don't want to say with no agenda, because the agenda is for these men to be better off than when they came to the retreat. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But we're not so stuck in our outline, I should say, that we have to stick to it by the book. But what we do is we basically just want to, in that hero hunt that we do, we want to serve those that serve us. And try to relieve a burden that's on them. Because one of the things we did realize is that these people in the public services are under so much pressure.
Sure.
We were talking and seeing that if we can affect one of those men, let's just take a police officer, for instance. If we can take one of those men who's struggling, who has witnessed things, who has done things and is struggling with maybe addiction, maybe with something they've done in their past, whatever. But if we can take that man and just bless him for no reason, just bring him a gift. Hey, man, we want to give you 3 days. We're not going to, and this is what I tell him, we're not going to preach at you. We're Christian ministry. We're not going to preach at you. We're going to tell you how you should live. We're not going to do any of this. We just want to invest back into your life and hopefully let you have a good time. And we invite them in and we take them on these retreats. And it's very laid back and relaxed. And I tell them all when we get there, say, guys, you know, we're not asking you to be anybody different than who you are. You know, obviously, let's use respect around each other because everybody has different backgrounds. I was like, so if somebody's different than you, just treat them with respect, you know, and we're going to do the same for you. But usually by the end of it, you'll have a group of 8 to, you know, we've had as many as 14 guys that just create this bond and are able to just unwrap things that have kept them bound, some for years.
Yeah.
And just let them just get some peace and relief off of their, you know, and things off of their mind and off of their chest. And then we do it and we show them God's love through every bit of it. We serve them, you know, and just let them be them. And what it really is, and we had a guy, for instance, that showed up and he said, man, I don't know why I'm here. I got the phone call, I was nominated, he said, but I don't know why I'm here. I'm not Christian. I don't go to church. He goes, I almost turned around and left, but something made me stay here. And I said, well, man, you're welcome. I was like, it doesn't matter if you're Christian. It doesn't matter. I was like, we still want to bless you. You've served in our military. You serve, I believe, as an EMT as well now. I said, man, we just want to serve you. There was no prerequisite to why you were here. You were nominated because somebody thought you deserved it, and we prayed about it and said, you know, we invited you. And he said, okay. And he was real set back. But by the last night, he just said, man, I don't understand this. You guys just treated me so good, and you just blessed me. He's like, and I don't know why. And at that moment, it was like the Holy Spirit just kind of revealed to me, because I didn't even realize how we were doing it. He just said to me, he said, well, that's the same thing Christ did for everybody.
Absolutely.
We didn't deserve it. We didn't look right.
That's so
good. We didn't fit the part. We weren't any of that. And so that's what we use that for. My only regret with what we do on those is we only get to do one or two of them a year. because anybody who's ever been on one has just been blessed by it. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody that goes gets changed and, oh, they turn their life over and they live for Christ and they do all this. But I do know without a doubt that we have shared Christ with them, and we have shown them the love of Christ. Yeah, it is.
Or seeds watered.
Yeah.
You know, you may not have, if you take 10 guys, you may see one harvest. And that's great. That's great.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's awesome. Sometimes you may not see any, but the fact that you're planting seeds, the fact that you are watering something that is already there, you know, just like the guy you shared, probably experienced the love and service in 3 days that he hasn't experienced in a lifetime.
You know, you say that on, I don't know if it's that same trip or another one, there was a man, and he said at the end, he said, man, actually, I think he made a phone call to somebody else and told him, he said, man, and he said it to the group as well. He said, it's just the opposite end. He'd been in church since he was a little kid. He said, man, I've been to church my whole life. Drugged to church, been with me, he says, believe in Christ, love Christ. He goes, but I think this weekend is the first time I've ever experienced the love of Christ.
Man, that's so awesome. Like that.
And as an associate pastor at the time, that was a two-edged sword there.
Sure.
Yeah, we're doing a good work for God in this, but at the same time, I'm going, man, we're failing in the church.
Yeah.
At not showing people the love of Christ, that we've been so blinded to the using the word as an offensive sword instead of a defensive sword.
Sure.
And that's where we really started you know, hammering in the fact that, you know what, if I can tell anybody anything about Christ, it is 100% about relationship and nothing about religion.
Yeah.
You know, the religion, you know, it has its place in the traditions that are set up in religion. help people to stay in line and govern themselves. But I think that's what happens so many times in the past is we focus on that religion,
yeah,
and that becomes our idol rather than us being true Christ followers.
Absolutely. So. Well, you know, you're sharing that, sharing, you know, a part of your ministry and sharing those experiences. I'm reminded of in the New Testament when Christ says, "This is the new commandment I leave with you, that you love one another as I have first loved you."
Yeah.
Right? And it's easy, being an associate pastor myself, it's easy to get caught up in what's going on in the church and in the next event. And
yes,
getting caught up in the next media post and what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? What are we going to do for Christmas? We're starting to prep for the new year. All these other things that sometimes it's easy to get so caught up in what's going on that we fail to complete the simple commandments of Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, just hearing that is just refreshing to me, knowing that hearing those examples of just when we love one another and when we serve as Christ came to serve us,
yeah,
is that when we can simplify those simple commandments and ordinances from Christ himself of how it impacts.
Yeah.
Right? And just the simple obediences, you know, and you're just talking about how you have a whole vision for it to be worldwide. And I truly believe that someday Christ will allow that to happen.
Yeah.
But how you just felt like you needed to put all that aside and just be obedient in your prayer time, be obedient in who he was asking you to take and the impact that has happened because of that.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure sitting in your seat at some point, you've probably been disappointed it's not where you've wanted it to be.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Probably more times than not. Like, yeah, we're just going to be honest.
Yeah, be real honest. That's the truth. Yeah.
But if you sit back from a standpoint of what God has asked you to do and the impact that has happened because of it, and that's so much greater joy. And that's, you know, kind of ties in back to what we talked about at first. You could have made sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice to get your ministry where you wanted it to be right now.
Right.
But the fact that you realize that the obedience to where God has you in each season is more important, there's going to be a greater blessing on the other side because of that. And that's so powerful because of it. Man, that's so good. Any final thoughts or any final things you kind of want to say just about maybe personal life, you know, the ministry, whatever?
Man, I'll just say, you know, we're talking about, you know, what we do. And I kind of mentioned there on the hero hunts and stuff like that. We've opened that up to more than just the public service. And I really, in this new chapter of my life personally, I'm, you know, not a pastor anymore. I'm going to do more of this blind faith, more of sticking to that ministry for now. I do feel a little backstory. I was a senior pastor after an associate pastor. And so Blind Faith was kind of not necessarily on the back burner, but it was not the forefront as it was. And, you know, for a while I thought that was a mistake. But what it did also is it gave me a heart for pastors. And yeah, so, you know, Blind Faith moving on is we're going to do more for pastors and stuff like that. And, one of the biggest takeaways I've got is I love the hero hunts, man. They're big events. They cost a lot of money. You know, got to raise money for that every time. Sure. And yeah, that's probably the one thing that keeps me from doing more of them or keeps us from doing more of them. But something I've learned recently is we are also big event oriented and minded, you know, because each one of these, when I can take 10 or 12 guys out, you know, we do this, and there might be one or two that get a lot out of it. Everybody gets something out of it. There might be one or two that gets a lot out of it. And I'm like, well, God, I just want to do as many of these as I can. You know, let's put as many in there as we can. Let's help as many people, as many pastors, as many veterans, you know, as we can. But God just really has reminded me in the past couple months how important the one-on-one deal is. You know, when we started, you know, there's a quick story, if I can. We had a young man. I'm not going to reveal too much about this story because it was very personal. a young man was hunting by himself, and we offered him to come hunt with us. And he's like, no, I've already got my stuff set up. I'm going to go hunt over here. I don't like where y'all are going. Basically, it was like, y'all aren't as good at hunting as me. That's kind of the way we felt, you know. It's like, this kid's going, man, I'm better than you. I know what I'm doing. You know, and he beat us there. He had us dead to rights. He got the better spot, you know. But we went. We said, well, you know, if you want to join us, you're welcome. About halfway through the morning, we'd shot a couple. He comes cruising over in his kayak. He says, can I still join you guys? I said, yeah, you can, you know. We start hanging out, and he kind of started talking a little foul-mouthed, you know, and stuff. And we didn't really say anything about it. We didn't acknowledge much. And a little bit later, he goes, are you guys Christians? Yes, sir, we are. And he goes, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But anyway, to make this story a little shorter, he just revealed some things that he was struggling with big time that a 21-year-old shouldn't have to be dealing with, you know. That kid a week or two later sent me a message and had went to church and received Christ.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay.
Gives me a Holy Ghost.
Oh, no, me too. And, you know, I don't know where he is now. I hung out with him a few times after that and don't know where he is now, but I know that he knows the truth and all that. But God really has been pointing out to me lately, you know, and this may be for everybody. I mean, it's for everybody, I believe. We base everything on these big events and how well they happen because, let's be honest, in American society, everything's based on big events now.
Sure.
Football games, baseball games, bass tournaments, trophy bucks, trophy ducks. I mean, it's just a big events like have such a huge place and everything. But God's really just revealed to me, man, it's this one-on-one interaction. It's that if we can just impact one person at a time, and it doesn't have to be a big event. And I think now that God has shown me that, it's going to be easier for the bigger events to happen.
Sure.
Because I'm not looking for it.
Absolutely.
I'm
going
to try to find what I need in the small things, you know, in the one-on-one and individual
time. Oh, man, that will preach for a while.
Oh, it will. And that's why we're going to get off of it. But yeah, I think, you know, you're asking about my personal life and things that I've got that out of that lately, that we just really need to take more time on the one-on-one. We've got a lot of things working it, you know, for Blind Faith that's to come. Right, matter of fact, right now we're trying to set the dates for the next hero hunt, which will be in January, and try to decide who's going to go on that, and of course how it's going to be paid for and all that stuff. All
sure.
The good stuff's coming in, but we also have a lot of stuff going for the local community that we're going to start doing. So
that's awesome.
It's pretty neat. We're pretty excited.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome. Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us today. Do you guys have, I know you have some social media. Do you guys have a website?
Well, we don't have a website anymore. Not real sure what happened to that. It got shut down and we weren't able to retrieve it. We'll be getting one up before long. But right now you can follow us on Blind Faith Outdoors on Facebook. If you want to email, have any questions, blindfaith@yahoo.com. And that gets directly to me, and I'm pretty open. My phone number's on all the pages and everything. But yeah, anybody wants to know anything about it or be a part of it, see how they can
sure.
be involved, just let me know.
Yeah, that's what I was looking
oh,
for.
Go.
So
there
I was going to say, you know, anybody, you know, hearing this, one, because you guys you do everything through donations for payment and partnerships.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've never done this before, but I just feel compelled that if you guys, you know, want to give to this, y'all that are listening today, you know, you feel led to give to this, reach out, Blind Faith Outdoors. He gave you the email for it too. You'll have to rewind it a little bit, and maybe I can put it in the comment section of today's video as well. But check them out. We thank you for, you know, what you do and the ministry that you do. Thank you for taking time to just kind of talk with us today and talk us through it. We look forward to hearing, you know, more testimonies come out of this.
Yeah.
And so we look forward to an impactful season that is ahead. And so we thank you guys for listening to the Pastor's Porch today. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.